My name is Scott Harris. Welcome to the Dairy Dive. Today, we're going to drone on about drones. Buckle up, because we're diving deep.
First of all, we hope we can try to educate you so you learn just a little bit.
My whole life's been dairy farming.
Some days you wonder why you ever milk cows.
It's kind of just in the blood around here. I don't know what it is, but we like livestock.
Buckle up. The Dairy Dive starts now.
Well, today we got to sit down with James Williams of Rantizo. It's a drone company. He had actually specifically reached out to me, not knowing that we had a podcast. And it was drones are something I'd wanted to talk about because I'm just very intrigued by how big it's gotten in the space of agriculture I'd heard a lot, I feel like, in the past about it getting utilized for spraying. For consulting or just kind of looking at crop scouting and things like that. But now the spray application has become even more common. And so that was very neat, very good topic, really neat discussion, talking about the growth in that space and then just some of the other really common uses, but also some unique uses that we talked about as well. And then how, you know, Rantizo itself is kind of different. Just a really good time visiting with James, and so stay tuned. Hope you get something out of it, and let us know what you think. Give us some feedback. But so with that, we're going to turn it over to our interview with James Williams. Okay. So we're very happy to be joined today by James Williams with Rantizo. And, it was the first for me ever in the time of doing the podcast and trying to find guests that I had a guest reach out to me. I don't think he knew what he was getting himself into when he emailed me information. Turns out, next thing you know, he's getting invited on a podcast. But we are happy to have James here to give us a little information about an area that I definitely am not very knowledgeable. But we're talking a little bit about drones. But before we do all that, James, why don't you introduce yourself? Kind of tell us where you are, where you're located, and who in the world is Rantizo?
I appreciate that. Yeah, so my name's James Williams. I actually work remotely. I live in Northeast Arkansas, north of the Jonesboro area. For folks that aren't from this area, they may recognize the Jonesboro name. So northeast corner of the state, right close to Missouri Boot Hill. I actually grew up in the cattle industry with beef cattle. Went to college, decided to get in the plant side of things, graduated in 2011 with a degree in plant science from Arkansas State, and went right into an ag retail job, did that for a couple of seasons, and decided I wanted to play more in the agronomy side of things. So that's where I spent the next 9 years. And during that time, my family farm was converted from a beef farm to a small fruit and vegetable farm. So I've got a well-rounded portfolio of experience from the beef cattle to row crop and the rice and soybean industry, then into specialty horticulture and ornamental crops.
Okay.
And I started with Rantizo in October of last year. Rantizo is based out of Iowa City, Iowa, and we're a drone company. We're resellers or authorized retailers of DJI equipment. We recently added XAG equipment to our portfolio of offerings. We're sort of focused on what comes after buying a drone more than we are on the equipment side. A lot of times things like drone insurance, service, training, and software aren't always thought about in those first initial stages of in the excitement of buying one of these large spray drones. So that's where Rantizo is focused.
Gotcha. No, that sounds pretty good. I know the geography where you're at from just a little bit, but I'll never really quick, boring story, but I think it's kind of funny is one of the biggest trade shows that I've been to is probably that one in Memphis. I think it's called the Farm and Gin Show. We used to go to that in our old Master's Choice world. And first year I had a booth there. There was three people that were in a booth, and they were all insurance company. I think it was Farmers Insurance or something like that. I don't remember for sure. It may have been State Farm. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But there was one girl that every time she met somebody, she'd say, "I'm from Jonesboro," and "I'm from Jonesboro." And it's the way she said it. I bet. And you know, you sit there 3 days, right? And so you're sitting by this person for 3 days, and she just kept saying that over and over. And now every time I hear that, it still just gives me a little bit of a nail on the chalkboard. But I'm sure it's a lovely area. So.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Yep. So kind of to get things started, you know, I know that in this overall space, it's becoming a lot more popular than, I mean, in pretty recent years, while drones aren't definitely new necessarily to ag, but it's, I feel like it's becoming bigger and bigger. But how, I mean, what are we talking about in the overall space? How popular is the use of drones becoming in ag in the recent years?
So I'll pull up a couple of my figures here that I've got notes on. I remember myself seeing like Facebook posts and social media videos of drones spraying crops back in the probably mid 2010s. It was all kind of experimental back then. And I thought myself, oh, that's never going to take off. Little did I know where it was going to go. So in 2018, Rantizo was the first company in the United States to be granted the ability to fly and spray with a drone in the United States. Back then, it was an old model called the MG1P. It could do about 6 acres an hour. And Rantizo and operators within our drone provider network sprayed about 4,000 acres in 2018. And compare that to last year, we're over 200,000 acres in a season. So it has grown tremendously, and the capabilities of the aircraft have really grown tremendously as well.
Man, that's a huge increase. And yeah, I would say I was probably the same thought process as you. I don't remember the first time I heard about it, but I remember the first time hearing about it thinking, man, that's not going to work. Like, farmers aren't going to do that, you know, and sure enough, I was wrong. Imagine that. But it's just kind of the way it is. But yeah, so what has created this? So what are some of the biggest advantages of utilizing drone services instead of more maybe traditional farming that has led to such a large increase in such a short amount of time?
Well, I'll start by saying I think one of the biggest misconceptions that lingers out there is this idea that drones are here to replace ground rigs. We're here to replace helicopters and airplanes. That's not the case. Drones are another tool in the toolbox that can be used in conjunction with existing systems. You know, sure, there's farms that are 100% sprayed by drones, but it's far from all of them. You know, drones really found a niche in the beginning with this Midwest corn fungicide run. And what I've heard from Midwest farmers, you know, I've never been in the Midwest myself. So after talking to a lot of them, like I realized, okay, there's a big problem with having enough applicators to make all these applications in this short window. And drones were a tool for farmers and custom applicators to pop up pretty quick and get out there and service those acres. That's one use case, filling a void. The other use cases, drones are excellent in hard to reach areas. They're excellent in tight fields with weird angles that airplanes don't do a good job in. Ground rigs aren't efficient in. Those are some of the most basic use cases.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I can particularly see it, you know, for a lot of the people in our audience. I've been on a lot of these farms, the people that listen, and you do run into exactly what you're talking about. Typically, a lot of times for a lot of our listeners would be smaller fields, but not just small, just really odd angles sometimes and are really tough places to get a rig, you know, spray rig in and out or something like that. So makes a lot of sense to me that there would be some huge utilization there for that, without a doubt. So when you're talking about what type of crops we could utilize something like this in, give me some examples. What are some of the crops or services that someone can utilize with a drone?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of use cases developed since the early days. Obviously, row crop, corn, beans, rice, wheat, all of those everyday crops you think of. Rantizo and Rantizo operators have sprayed hops. They've sprayed hazelnuts, blueberries, onions, cucurbits, just about anything you can think of, we have touched. And then there's obviously other operators out there that are working in other industries that we haven't touched. So just about every facet of American agriculture has now been touched by the drone industry. That extends into special use cases such as like spraying shade on top of greenhouses. I don't know if you've ever seen that. They have liquid materials that you can spray on top of glass houses to provide shade during the heat of the summer. There's guys that are doing that where in the past it's been done by helicopter or excuse me, or with large hoses that don't do a real even job. There's been some invasive species work done in wetland areas, the phragmites or phragmites, I think they call them in the Midwest. A lot of lily pad work that has happened in the South. One of the cooler use cases, and I'll dive into the dairy part of it here. We've got an operator out in Indiana. It's Albertson Drone Services, and he is actually doing fly control around dairy farms. So he's spraying, the way he put it, they were animal safe insecticides and growth regulators. He's using them around like covered silage pits, manure lagoons, any of those areas that breed high fly infestations. He's been working on that. And one of our company pilots up in the Pacific Northwest actually did some experimentation, I think, flying around the barns themselves really close. But sometimes when you start getting close to structures, you start getting some interference with your reception. So I'm not sure how much of that's going to happen. But those areas around the farm, I think Kyle's been nice. Pretty successful.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So is it fair to assume that from the drone side that the cameras have probably gotten substantially better over the years than what – same with cell phones, right? Like I remember – some cell phones you used to take a picture. It was a crapshoot of what quality you're going to get. Now I feel like that's why we pay the price we do for cell phones. But is that true in the drone side too? The cameras have gotten substantially better or no?
I believe that's the case. I wasn't in the drone world for the last decade, so I would only assume they've gotten better. Back in the day, you had to actually like attach a GoPro to some of the earlier stuff. So they didn't even have cameras.
That makes sense. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that makes complete sense. Yeah. So in the information you sent me that I kind of reviewed to help kind of put this outline together that we were kind of working through today, you had mentioned some unique spray operations. Give me some examples of some unique ones that you're thinking of.
Yeah, sure. I kind of ran through part of that a second ago. So the whole dairy thing, manure lagoons, silage piles, that sort of thing. There's a lot of guys that are doing like brush control in certain areas, spot spraying woody brush in pasture land. So that would be one. The invasive species like phragmites, lily pads, those are all sort of the, non-traditional ag use cases.
I bet it's just scratching the surface probably.
I believe we are. Yeah, I think we got so much more to
explore. Yeah, I can absolutely
see
that. So when you're talking about one of the things, if I'm trying to put my dairyman hat on, if I was a farmer, dairyman, I think one of the things is that you're starting to see, and we run into this in the seed world, we run it into it with Streamline Ag, which is our crop input business, is that it's such a big space that if you don't know what you're buying, what you're actually getting, it can be a little bit intimidating. So, like, what advice would you give to a farmer when it comes to educating themselves on what to get into and fully understanding the benefits?
Yeah, and I have this conversation with guys all the time because I'd say probably 70% plus of the conversations I have daily are with guys that are just looking to get into this because it is such a new space still. I always recommend that they research before they fly. They understand the compliance side of things. You want to set yourself up for success. And the best way to do that is to do your research before you jump in. Understand the compliance, get certified and all the things you need to get certified in, because there are FAA specific requirements and there are, state specific requirements, all of those things.
Yeah. So, when you're talking about that, you mean as far as specific requirements, like how far or high you can fly or what geography or territories you can fly within, regions and those kind of things? Is that what you're referring to when you're talking about state and different regulations?
Yeah, the state part of it generally require, you know, refers back to like pesticide laws and regulation. So the FAA part of it, and I'll caveat to this real quick. I won't spend a lot of time on it. So there's something called a Part 107 certificate, and that is the low-hanging fruit in this industry. You have to have a Part 107 certificate from the FAA for any type of commercial drone operations. You can be taking real estate photos with a DJI Mini, or you can be spraying 1,000 acres of corn, or inspecting power lines and cell towers, you know, all that kind of high end work. All of that falls back to what's called the Part 107. And that's just showing that you understand airspace. You understand the safety that's around this space and how you should operate. You know, and so there's a very narrow path to flying recreationally.
Yeah.
And anything outside of recreationally, you're supposed to have a Part 107
certificate. I got you.
And, you know, the day may be coming where they start enforcing
it. Yeah, absolutely. I could see that for sure. So we've talked a lot about it in general about the industry, and you've done a tremendous job of covering a lot of that. But what about Ranzito specifically? It would be some benefits. What are some key benefits that you guys are able to provide?
Yeah, so back to that part about the things people don't normally think about. Insurance is a big one. You know, I talk to guys all the time. They have not even considered insurance. It's something they're going to need. And it's usually not as easy as calling up, you know, Progressive or State Farm or anything like that. There are specific insurance agencies that provide this type of coverage, and Rentizo works with the company to provide that. We have great rates. We have excellent coverages. So we work with a lot of guys on insurance. We have service packages. Inevitably, it's not a matter of if you crash, it's when. You know, you will crash eventually if you fly long enough, or you're going to have a major breakdown of some kind. And they're machines, they're complex, so some things break. And being able to have a quality service provider with trained techs is extremely important. We do training. We have virtual options as well as in-person options. The in-person option is fantastic. It's 2 days long. We have them in Iowa City and then a little town just south of Austin in the wintertime. That town's name is, I'm drawing a blank right now on that. But then we also have like FAA compliance assistance. So another piece of that compliance part besides the 107 is what's called your 44807 and 137 exemptions. The 44807 is drone specific for operations with drones over 55 pounds. And the 137 is for aircraft that are spraying in an agricultural setting. So airplanes, drones, helicopters, all of them fall under a 137. And those, that mountain of paperwork is a little bit complicated. So we do help with that as well. And probably what we're most proud of is a product called Acre Connect that we just came out with this year. It's proprietary software. It's a work order management and record software that you can use in your drone operation. And currently, we are the only provider of software that can generate as-applied maps within the DJI system. So we found that to be very important to a lot of operators, to a lot of co-ops out there, that their customers are asking for as-applied data, and they've never been able to give them that until now. So we're happy to have that out in the market.
Nice. Always good to have some differentiation, that's for sure. And so it sounds like you guys have quite a bit of it. That's a very good thing. So if it came down to it, then if someone has some more questions about any of the stuff we've talked about, just the drone usage period, or more about you or your products, what do they need to do to reach out? Is there a website, particular website they need to go to? Do you prefer them to email you? What do they need to do if they want to ask some follow-up?
Yeah, so without having to remember email links that I'll give you right now, they can go to rentizo.com. There's plenty of forms you can fill in that'll all come to the sales department. Alternatively, they can email sales@rentizo.com or james.williams@rentizo.com. And they can also call our company phone number. It's 309-201 3020 extension 1, and that comes directly to me. So they can reach out pretty easily.
I think I just realized a second ago I said Ranzito, and so I okay. apologize for that, Ranty, because I was just looking at my notes and I realized I had it typed wrong, and I think I turned into Ron Burgundy and just had to read what was ever in front of me like it's on a teleprompter. So, and I do have to, since I admitted to something dumb, I do have to say that the gentleman who edits our podcast, who's on here that you can't see, his name is Andrew. He is a pro at wrecking drones. He's a champion at it, and so. And the statement with that we've always made is it's not just as you said, it's not a matter of when, or not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, right? So,
yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Well, great.
I wrecked my drone like on my
flight. What's that?
I wrecked my first drone on like my third flight.
Okay.
So it happens.
Man, I can barely drive my vehicle down the road and not wreck something. I better stay away from drone use. I think I probably need to find a better way to contribute. I'm probably not the guy for that job. So, well, any other final thoughts, James, before we shut it down here? And just anything that any other one last thing you'd like to pass along?
I just want to thank you for having me here today. Like I said, I did get your email off the list. It's great when someone actually emails me back, and it's turned into a great opportunity. And happy to be here.
Absolutely, it doesn't happen very often when it comes to those type of lists. I can say that, but because I've done it. So, that, James, thanks a lot for joining us, and we hope everybody got some good information here. Visit the site that James mentioned, or your. Sounds like you could just email him directly or give him a call at the office number, whatever it may be, if you've got some more questions. But make sure and subscribe to the podcast. We try to really put out try to make it as unbiased, just good information as possible. And hearing a lot of feedback, still a lot of positive things, some good subscriptions, some good numbers are going up as far as downloads. And so we like to hear that. But also check out some of the other social media platform for Rob Seco and Master's Choice, and go take a look at everything. And if you have any other topics you'd like for us to hit on, please email me. So it's S Harris, so SHARRIS at RobSeco.com. And I'd love to try to dig down and find some other people to come on the show as a guest. And so take the time to do that. So with that, James, you have a wonderful rest of your day. And we really appreciate you coming on, and hope everybody has a blessed day, and take care.